Alleluia! Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia!
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you your secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whom truly to know is everlasting life, grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, reading from the Revelation to John. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And as I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
At the Last Supper, when Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, and you also shall love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Have you ever felt that God asked you to do something and you said no? Have you ever felt that God might be asking you to do something and you pretended that you didn't hear? Have you ever felt that you let God down? I want to talk to you this morning about Peter. To understand Peter and his development is to understand what it means to try to be a disciple of Jesus. Because Peter made so many mistakes. And that's why I love him. He represents all of us who struggle to follow God and stumble, but stick with it anyway. A number of years ago, I bought my husband a replica of an icon. It was an icon that I had never seen before, an icon of Peter. Have any of you ever seen an icon of St. Peter? This was the only one I've ever seen. But it was so beautifully done, and it was just like what I picture Peter to look like. In the icon, Peter has a mop of gray hair that looks like he's just gotten in from out in the wind. Like he never looks in a mirror. And his whole face is covered with this beard, all over his face and even down his neck. Like he hasn't shaved in years either. His skin, it has a weathered look to it. It's dark from the sun and wrinkled, and it looks kind of thick. You know how people are outside all the time? Their skin gets this coarse look to it. Peter's wearing some kind of an old robe that's kind of raggedy, and his shoulders are very broad. I always imagined him as being strong. The icon does not depict Peter's hands, but I've always pictured them as very large and full of calluses from pulling in those nets full of fish. This was a guy you couldn't ignore. We know that Peter was married. We know this because Jesus heals his mother-in-law. And you don't have a mother-in-law unless you've got a wife, right? I mean, she could have died, but he had been or was married. Which means that when Jesus left everything and said to Peter, come follow me, that Peter was leaving behind some kind of wife or family, as well as all of his boats and nets and his livelihood. Peter follows Jesus without hesitation. But along the way, one of the reasons Peter makes so many mistakes is because he was such an extrovert. Everything came right out of his mouth. He blurts out that Jesus is the Messiah, which was great, but then 2 seconds later, he blurts out that he doesn't think Jesus should have to suffer any pain. Now, Jesus knew something of what was going to happen to him, so he didn't want to hear that. And he says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. If Jesus had said that to me, I probably would have run away in tears. But Peter just seems to take it on the chin and stays with it. Peter is selected to go up the mountain where, when Jesus prays, he turns dazzling white. And Peter sees Moses and Elijah on either side of Jesus. And again, Peter blurts out unnecessarily in the middle of this ecstatic, prayerful moment. He starts yapping about how he needs to make booths for each one of them. And he won't be quiet, so God has to yell down from heaven and say, "This is my son. Listen to him." Which is a nice way of saying, "Zip it." Peter thinks he knows how to be a disciple, but he keeps messing up. And he's so sure of himself. When Jesus says, "You're going to deny me three times," Peter says, "No way, I'll never do that." No less than 24 hours later, someone asks Peter, "Do you know that guy? I thought I saw you with him." And Peter says, "No, I don't know him. I'm not with him." Three times he lies and denies his Lord. When Peter hears the cock crow and remembers what Jesus told him, he starts to cry. And again, that would have been enough for me. I would have run away. I would have said, "I messed this up so badly, I'm done. I gotta go home." But Peter doesn't run away. He sticks it out. And when the sun rises on the third day, Peter is one of the first ones to the tomb to cry, to say he's sorry, to be there, even in death, with Jesus. And with the mess that he's made, he doesn't leave the mess that he's made. When Peter sees the resurrected Christ, things begin to change in him. I love that scene where he's in the boat and he sees the resurrected Christ on the shore, so he puts on his clothes and jumps into the water. I have never gotten that one. And he gets to the shore and Jesus asks him three times, "Do you love me?" I don't know why God has to ask Peter things three times. Maybe it was because he was so dense and stubborn that it took a number of times to get it in his head. Or maybe it was some kind of antidote to the three times that Peter denounced Jesus and lied and said he didn't know him. But for whatever reason, Jesus has to say three times, "Do you love me?" And again, Peter is so funny, he gets frustrated. He says, "Lord, you know that I love you. I already told you that." 10 my sheep," Jesus says. "Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep." Peter starts to listen. He starts doing things God's way and not his way. And as we move into the book of Acts, Peter becomes an incredible leader of the church. He'll pray and then he'll listen, and God will tell him where to go. And he'll go to a city where he'll talk about Jesus. He'll baptize, and he even gets so attuned with God that he begins to heal people. But even still, he still is stubborn. Some of the apostles begin to preach to people who aren't Jewish, and Peter thinks that's wrong. He's made up his mind, you see. He's going to tell the Jews about Jesus because they're the people of God. And he's a Jew and they're Jews, and that's what he came for. So once again, God has to come down from heaven and bang Peter over the head. Peter has a vision in the book of Acts that you heard this morning. It's the weirdest vision I've almost ever heard. If I had had that vision, I would have felt completely crazy. He sees this white sheet coming down from heaven, and on top of the sheet, there are all these kind of animals, reptiles and birds, animals that Peter, as a devout Jew, would have never touched, let alone eaten. So the sheet comes down from on high, and Peter hears God's voice. And God says, "Get up and eat." Pretty clear, right? What does Peter say? No. He says no to God. Not just once, he says no three times. Are you kidding? I haven't eaten that stuff my whole life. I've never touched it. I'm not going to eat that. Whoever thought that a disciple, a leader of the church, could refuse God three times? It was as if he hadn't learned anything at all. But God must know Peter by now, because after the third time he sees the sheet descend, and God saying, "Get up and eat," and him saying no, the vision ends and Peter hears a knock on the door. He opens the door and there are three Gentile men standing there. They ask Peter to come to the home of a Roman soldier, a centurion named Cornelius. Once more, Peter hears God, and this time he listens. "Go with them," God says, "and treat them as if they're one of us." Romans imprisoned Jews all the time. They would beat them, kill them unnecessarily, lock them up, mock them. For Peter to walk into that man's house was walking onto another planet, a place that he would have never, ever set foot in before. And he eats with them. And he tells them about Jesus. He shows them the love of God. And they begin to believe. And Peter says this amazing thing. He says at the very end of the scripture that we read, "Who am I to hinder God? Who am I to hinder God?" I think that you and I are at a crossroads in history. Things are changing very quickly. You walk out on the streets of Jacksonville and you're not just encountering people that look like you. You're encountering people from all over the world, people who speak many languages and practice many different faiths. And our country, whether we like it or not, is seeing more and more violence from all over the world. And it's easy to get scared and want to hang out with people just like us. But God is asking you to go out and knock on the doors of people that you do not know and do not understand and share with them the love of Christ. And I don't know about you, but I sometimes really just feel like saying no. Sometimes I do say no, or sometimes I say, "I didn't hear that." But just because you struggle and wrestle with what God asks of you doesn't mean that you're not called to be a disciple. Look at Peter, how many times he said no, how many times he messed up, and he was one of the greatest leaders in the church. So just because you make a mistake doesn't mean that God isn't still asking. And one thing I can say about being a disciple, it's scary. One of the reasons it's scary is because God is always doing new things. You never know what God's going to ask of you next. It could be something completely uncomfortable. God surprises us a lot. But this place will always be here for you. A place that you can count on being loved. A place that you can count on being refreshed before you go out there. I'm convinced that the more violent things get out there, the more we're called to love. The more we're called to love. And that is a hard task to do. But if Peter figured it out, then so can you, my friends. And so can you. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Father in heaven, give us courage and strength to be disciples and to spread your love into this broken world. Help us when we fail you or ignore you to not leave you, but again to try. And as Peter, to grow more and more as leaders in your world. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. So good to see you today. A good portion of our parish, about 70-some people, are at Camp Weed this weekend for our parish family retreat. And I was there until last night. It's a wonderful event. Every year we go out there and we boat and swim and play games and learn about prayer and have workshops. And so consider coming any year. We do it every year around this time. It's a wonderful, wonderful time. And Father Weedy is out there, and they're celebrating a service there today in the chapel at Camp Weed. If you're new or visiting, we welcome you today. If you raise your hand, we will not make you get up and give a speech, but we'll know who you are so we can welcome you. We're so glad you're here today. I see you guys. Welcome. There are some cards in your pew that you can fill out. Welcome in the back. And we'll send you our e-newsletter. So we're so happy you're here with us. We want you to save May 12th as a special date. We'll be having a consultant come down from Episcopal Church Foundation. She's going to have a series of meetings to talk to you about the needs of this great facility and some renovation ideas and get your opinions. So there's more information about that in your bulletin. We hope you'll come by and talk to us. Next Sunday is our annual St. George's Evensong that our choir does. It's a beautiful evensong. And we have asked a former canon here at the cathedral, Dina Burrell, to come back and preach for us. So I hope you guys will join us on that night. Remember, as you receive communion, if you would like special prayers, there are always anointers in the chapels in both sides of the church who will pray with you for anything that you need or desire. And if you're interested in baptism or in confirmation, the bishop will be coming soon, so please let us know if you want to be part of those sacraments. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. your mighty works reveal your wisdom and love. You formed us in your own image, giving the whole world into our care, so that in obedience to you, our Creator, we might rule and serve all your creatures. When our disobedience took us far from you, you did not abandon us to the power of death. In your mercy, you came to our help, so that in seeking you, we might find you. Again and again, you called us into covenant with you, and through the prophets, you taught us to hope for salvation. Father, you loved the world so much that in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son to be our Savior. Incarnate by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, he lived as one of us, yet without sin. To the poor, he proclaimed the good news of salvation. To prisoners, freedom. To the sorrowful, joy. To fulfill your purpose, he gave himself up to death, and rising from the grave, destroyed death and made the whole creation new. And that we might live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died and rose for us, he sent the Holy Spirit, his own first gift for those who believe, to complete his work in the world and to bring to fulfillment the sanctification of all. When the hour had come for him to be glorified by you, his heavenly Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. At supper with them, he took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Father, we now celebrate this memorial of our redemption, recalling Christ's death and his descent among the dead, proclaiming his resurrection and ascension to your right hand, awaiting his coming in glory and offering to you from the gifts you have given us, this bread and this cup. We praise you and we bless you. Lord, we pray that in your goodness and mercy, your Holy Spirit may descend upon us and upon these gifts, sanctifying them and showing them to be holy gifts for your holy people, the bread of life and the cup of salvation, the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that all who share this bread and cup may become one body and one spirit, a living sacrifice in Christ to the praise of your name. Remember, Lord, your one holy Catholic and apostolic church, redeemed by the blood of your Christ. Reveal its unity, guard its faith, and preserve it in peace. And grant that we may find our inheritance with the Blessed Virgin Mary, with patriarchs, prophets, apostles, and martyrs, with John, with Peter, and all the saints who have found favor with you in ages past. We praise you in union with them and give you glory through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty God and Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, forever and ever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
join me in sending forth our Eucharistic visitor who will visit those who cannot come to church. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us go forth in the name of the risen Christ.